speak on the subject of unclothed. Unclothed. And what the Bible says about it. Unclothed. I want you to notice here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. And if you'll skip down to verse 19. It says, "For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord." Now, Judah, of course, was the southern kingdom of Israel, and Ahaz is the king, and they are being afflicted by the Assyrians. What an unbelievable event take place in Israel and in Judah. And we're told an insight here into what happened to that country. It says their leader had brought Judah low. It says the Lord, rather, brought Judah low. The Lord judged Judah because Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked. For he made Judah naked. And notice the description of that, and transgressed sore against the Lord. Now, I don't know about you that are here tonight. I love America. I am a nationalist. I'm a Christian first. I believe everyone ought to love their homeland. I believe nationalism is taught in the Bible, and I've explained my position before. Even in Revelation, it talks about how the nations of them that are saved shall be brought into the New Jerusalem. I believe God believes in nationalism, and He believes in a separation of the nations. And when nations melt together, they weaken themselves. And there are distinctives in every nation that God would have us enjoy and live in and be helped by. We ought to love our nation. If you're from Romania tonight, you ought to love Romania. I believe that's scriptural. I believe that America is seeing the beginning of a judgment in our land, a judgment that is being inflicted upon her by Islam. That is, Islam fundamentalists. You have probably noticed, if you've been following the news over the last 5 years, how hated America is becoming by the nation of Islam. These fundamentalists of Islam believe that we are the ones who have corrupted the world through our culture. One of their hatreds for us is because of what Western culture has done in contaminating and perverting so many nations. I believe that fundamentalist Islam is wrong on so much, but right on this one point. They are right on this one point. And they have, as a result, branded us as heretics and infidels. And they have begun to use a strategy that they've used all through their history to infiltrate and take over nations. And that is to slowly and patiently infiltrate a nation. Country of Turkey today is over 99% Islam. When you read Revelations 2 and 3 in your Bible and the letters to the churches, that's Turkey. It used to be Christian, and it was infiltrated. We see a tremendous, tremendous infiltration taking place in Great Britain. 1,300 mosques per year are being built in the United States of America, while 800 Baptist churches per year are being closed down. They're very patient. They're very persistent. They don't mind waiting generations and generations to infiltrate a country to take it over, and they really believe they're right. One of the things Islam hates is nakedness. They got one thing right. And they believe that we are corrupting the world by our Western culture, which was birthed in Great Britain and then brought to America and infiltrated our country by the powerful medium of music back in the 1950s and 60s and 70s. And now that music that infiltrated our country and perverted our country and made us a country that is low, a naked country, now that same music is in the church. It's in the church. I believe our country is low today when it comes to our culture and to our morals. I believe, like Ahaz of old, it says he made Judah naked. And as a result, the Lord brought Judah low. The Lord abased Judah. And get this now, and here's the point I'm trying to make here. The Lord stirred up the Assyrians as his tool of chastisement on Judah. There's a little book in the Minor Prophets called the Book of Habakkuk. The whole book's about that. The whole little book is about an argument Habakkuk is having with God. He's arguing with God in chapter 1. It's only 3 chapters long, and he's saying, God, what are you doing? We are your people. And now these Chaldeans are coming on us, and we can't stop them. And these Chaldeans are persecuting us. And God, you got it all wrong. They're the ones that should be judged. They're the ones who are wicked. They're the ones that are ungodly. And God explains to Habakkuk the truth that's always been his way. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Ezekiel 9:6, he says, mark everybody who fears me and leave them alone. But anybody that doesn't have that mark on them, bring them into judgment and start at my sanctuary. Start at my sanctuary. 1 Peter 4:17, judgment must begin at the house of God. And I submit to you tonight that if God took his people and allowed such barbaric people as the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and the Chaldeans to be his chosen tool of chastening upon that nation, I submit to you that God has never changed. And God could still today take people who we think they should be judged. They're the ones that should be judged. Look at them. But God says, no, to whom much is given, much shall be required. And I gave America the Bible. I gave America prayer. I gave America the Ten Commandments. And now you're a nation that walks before me naked. And they're clothed. And God stirs up the most unlikely people, the most barbaric people to bring his judgment. Now, I don't know. I'm trying maybe to speak as a prophet tonight rather than a pastor and to warn us that there are people in this world who hate us and they are infiltrating this country. And we're letting them do it. We're turning a blind eye to them. And we're not profiling them like we ought to be. And we're profiling little grandmas in the airport, but not them. And they're being allowed to be brought in and establish houses of worship all over our country in the name of religious freedom and so on and so forth. And And they are planting themselves in here. Folks, tonight, if you knew a little bit of history, Great Britain is beside themselves. They don't know what to do. It's almost over for them. Because Islam, which means, by the way, submission, that's what the word means, has so infiltrated their country. Now, I just want to interject this a little bit here. It's not George Bush's fault. The heart, if I could use that word, of Islam began to turn against our country in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. Because they saw that we were the source that was corrupting the world, Western culture. We were the source that was leading women and men into nakedness and into drugs and into the breakdown of the family and all types of things. And they're, literally, their mindset is we've got to destroy these people before they destroy the world. That's how they think about us. We have got to destroy anybody who is not a convert to Islam before they destroy the world through our immorality. That's getting into the mind of the fundamentalist Islamic person. And many of them aren't fundamentalists, just like many Christians aren't. God brought Judah low here, and he used the Assyrians to do it. But why did God bring them low? Tells us right in the verse. Because they were a naked nation. They were a naked nation. God brought them low. So that's it. You have sore. Read it there in verse 19. You have sore transgressed against me. Now we may have gotten used to nakedness, but God hasn't. We may have said, well, it's everywhere, you know, it's our cheerleaders and it's our TV and the commercials and the billboards and the magazines as you check out. And it's everywhere. It's the people walking down the street in the summertime when the living's easy and the weather's hot and so on and so forth. And we've got used to it. And, you know, if you got a problem with it, just grow up. But God doesn't get used to it. He said in the book of Malachi chapter 3, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. I change now. God is not changing with Western culture. And I submit to you that if God used the Assyrians to judge Judah because they had become a naked nation, the Assyrians were just barbaric people. Absolutely. They would take Jews and tie them up and skin them literally alive while other Jews were forced to watch. Barbaric people can sometimes be God's tool of chastisement on people who know better. God, when he starts judgment, starts with those who should know better. America ought to know better. What is nakedness? Nakedness is exposing parts or shapes of the body that should not be exposed. Let me say that again. Nakedness is exposing parts or shapes of the body that should not be exposed. Let me say it again. Nakedness is exposing parts or shapes of the body that should not be exposed. Do not confuse nakedness with nudity. Nudity is nakedness, but nakedness is more than nudity. A person can be half or three-quarters clothed, but still be exposing their nakedness. Let's look at a few Bible definitions. Turn to Isaiah chapter 47. In Isaiah chapter number 47 and verses 1 through 3, and I want you to be sober about this message, as I just want to teach a little bit here tonight, line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm not here to rebuke anyone. I'm just here to warn us and to say, hey, look, our church might just have one tiny little drop of influence in a great sea of humanity, but at least let's use our influence to set a good example. And let's know what God is talking about when he talks about nakedness. So somebody might say, well, I don't walk around nude. I'm not part of a nudist colony. Wonderful. But it's more than that. Notice some definitions, and there's some figurative language I'm about ready to read. Be sure you read down in between the lines to get the secondary meaning. It says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou art no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Now, he's talking here, of course, about judgment on Babylon and the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were Babylonians, but just notice a secondary interpretation as he defines nakedness in verse 3. He talks about the bare leg and the uncovered thigh. This is a biblical definition, and we always need to go to the Bible. You'll find if you study the Bible long enough, the Bible will interpret the Bible so things are not left up to you and I to try to figure out what God is saying. The making bare of the leg and the uncovering of the thigh is equated with nakedness. Turn back to Exodus 28. Exodus 28. I'm going to begin reading verse 42, 43. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs shall they reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto them, and his seed after him. Notice God says in verse 43, I want every single priest that ministers to me in the holy place to be dressed in such a way, or they're going to die. And he says, I want at least the loins and the thighs that would be down to the knees covered by linen breeches. The word breeches is synonymous with our English word pants. You can read about breeches in Exodus 28:42 here, Exodus 39:28. Leviticus 6 and verse 10, Leviticus 16 and verse 4, Ezekiel 44 and verse 18, and in all five cases, linen breeches are referred to or pertaining to men. Pertaining to men. We get the old English word breeches from the word breeches. And those five different scriptural references talks about how men ought to wear linen breeches that cover the loins down to the thighs. I'm actually, I don't wear shorts myself, but I'm not against men wearing shorts. I'm just glad to see that the style of the day for men's shorts is that they do cover the loins and the thighs all the way down to the knees. Now I just wish women dressed that modestly. Boy, something twisted about that. But I want you to notice there, he says, look, when you minister before me in the holy place, and he notice in verse 42, he defines nakedness again as the exposing of the loins and the thighs. Go back to Exodus 20 in verse 26. By the way, he's talking about men and their nakedness. This is about men and their nakedness. Make bare the leg, make bare the thigh, thy nakedness, thy shame shall appear. It's on the men. He's saying when you minister to me, at least from the loins to the knees ought to be covered with pants. Notice Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 26. I'll start at verse 25. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. In other words, the altar ought not to be a work of the flesh. Neither shalt thou go up by the steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. What a statement. This is talking about a priest here. He's got his flowing garments on, and he's got his linen breeches underneath that garments. He says, when you build an altar, don't put it up on steps, because I'm opposed to nakedness so much that if somebody should see a man walking up like this and should see his thighs, he said, that's nakedness. A man. Does not the law teach us the righteousness of God? The holiness of God? God says, when you make an altar, you put it down on the level of the people there, because I don't want anybody to get a glimpse of a man's nakedness while he walks up on the altar. A man. I don't want there to be a chance that anyone should see part of a man's leg or thigh as he walks up on the altar. So keep it down where everybody else is. Look outside. Wow. Imagine what he thinks today when he sees our country. Imagine what this holy God thinks. One of the things that we are supposed to do, that we're commanded to do by Christ, that we will be rewarded for is what? Clothing the naked. In Isaiah chapter 58, I'll read this for you in verse 7. It says about fasting, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. He says, fast, go without food for a while, save yourself some money so you can buy some clothes, so when you see naked people, you can cover them. One time at the judgment, think of this is the judgment, it's a glimpse ahead into the judgment day. And Jesus says this, and I'll begin reading in Matthew 25 and verse 35. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, or took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. See, one of the things that he says about the future, the judgment, is he says, I'm going to reward you for your good works that you have done down here on earth after your salvation. And one of those is that you have clothed the naked. This is what he expects us to do. I mean, just as much as if you saw a hungry person and gave him food, or a thirsty person and gave him drink, the Bible says if we see a naked person and clothe that person, we're doing the Lord's work. And he said, I'll reward you for that. One day, a couple of naked men met Christ coming out of the tombs in Gergesa. My wife and I were there back in February, and we saw the mountains, and we saw the tombs and the hill. Tombs are just, in the Bible, are just simply what are called caves today. And we looked up there at Gergesa, just a little mountain, and you could actually see the caves there, and there was three or four of them in the side of the cave, and we could actually picture these men coming out, demon-possessed men. And we have one whose testimony is particularly described for us in the Gospels, that he was out of his mind, and he was crazy, and he was in the tombs cutting himself, and they'd bind him with chains, and he'd break his chains, and so on. He's so demon-possessed, he was naked. And he wouldn't let anyone pass by that way. And, of course, Jesus met him. And he came and begged Christ for help. Amen. That's where you get help. And the Lord said, what's your name? And he said, Legion, for we are many. And he cast the devils out of that man. There were so many devils that they went into a herd of swine, which ran violently down a hill and drowned themselves there in the Sea of Galilee. It was really something. But the Bible says all the people from around that area came out to see what had happened. Word got around, and they saw the man was sitting at Jesus' feet, and says he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. See, I think when people meet Jesus, they sit at his feet and hear his word, and they put their clothes on, and they begin to develop a right mind. You know, some of the things some of you used to do before you were saved, you must have been insane. Sin will make you insane, you know that? And some of the things I've done when I was away from the Lord and sin, I don't have any explanation for it. The power of sin, the motions of sin, Romans 7:5 just runs over the human race. No other explanation. But boy, when you get right with God and you get close to Jesus, you start putting your clothes on. Start putting your clothes on. When the first man and woman fell, if you'll turn to Genesis 3, we see something happen to their nature. Adam and Eve fell into sin. They disobeyed the commandment of the Lord, which is transgression, for sin is the transgression of the law. And they became fallen creatures. And here's two human beings, a man and a woman, who lived in the very presence of a holy God. And some estimate that they actually had communion with God perhaps for 100 years. We don't know how long. They existed in nakedness and purity before God for 100 years. We don't know for sure. But I've heard a pretty good argument about that. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says as soon as they sinned and they received a fallen nature, having lived in God's holy presence for so long and seeing themselves finally in a fallen, sinful nature, the very first thing they ever did was they found themselves a bunch of fig leaves. And they sewed them together and they covered themselves out of shame. Nakedness became a shame as soon as man fell into sin. And as soon as he received a fallen nature, and it has remained a shame ever since. And then what did God do? God came and found him and grilled him and asked him some questions and said, "Who told you you were naked?" And pretty soon they were naked, and God didn't say, "Oh, you're forgiven. Go ahead and take the fig leaves off." No, God didn't do that. God, for the first time in his creation, killed some animals. He made Adam and Eve coats of skins and clothed them. That's what God did. God didn't say, "No, you're forgiven. Go ahead and just walk around naked from now." No, God knew that their fallen nature had corrupted their minds. The nakedness had then become a shame, and so God, for the first time ever in all of history, had to kill something. And a bunch of animals were killed, and God made coats of skins, and you can read it in Genesis 3:21. He clothed them with coats of skins. God clothes man. Jesus clothed naked men. Who do you suppose unclothes man? Who do you suppose unclothes man? Now we need to ask ourselves a question tonight. Who are we submitted to? If God clothes man, and Satan unclothes man, who are we submitted to? Don't worry about the world. John said, "Let them filthy be filthy still." But in the same breath, he said, "Let the righteous be righteous still." Whose influence is on our wardrobe as men and women? Now, why then does Satan unclothe men? Why is he pushing the envelope ever farther and farther and farther in this area? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'll show you why. I'll show you why in this verse. This is why Satan unclothes man. Because in 1 Corinthians 6:19 it says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The body of a human being belongs to God. We can see then why Satan would want to shame a human being by nakedness, because our bodies belong to God. When Satan sees mankind, he sees the image of God. And I'm talking to ladies too tonight. It says in Genesis 1 and Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Even females are made in the image of God. And if you were Satan and you had such a hatred for God, what would you want to do? You'd want to shame and desecrate that which represents the image of God on earth, which is men and women, male and female. Now turn to Leviticus 18. We've got a few more scriptures to go. I want you to see this We're not afraid of the law tonight, are we? The law is good and holy and just, right? Amen. Now, I know we're not under the law, but the law exposes to us the righteousness of God. And in Romans 8 and verse 4, I've tried to teach that. The Holy Spirit tries to get you and I to fulfill the righteousness of the law. Not to fulfill the law, but the righteousness that the law teaches. He tries to get us to fulfill. And I want you to notice beginning at verse 6 of Leviticus 18, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. That's pretty clear, isn't it? And then in case it's not clear, he gives us about a dozen examples. Let's go through them quickly. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother thou shalt not uncover. Notice male and female. Don't uncover the nakedness of your father. Remember Noah when he got drunk after the flood? He was laying in his tent, and like drunkenness often does, it leads to nakedness. That's why we ought to abstain from alcohol, amen? Get it out of our houses, out of our lives, out of our hearts. Because alcohol leads to nakedness. You might not have a problem, you might not see anything wrong with drinking one beer, but your son might say, well, Dad drank, I can drink a whole case. And drunkenness leads to nakedness. I mean, how many of you women, perhaps, if you gave testimony, remember times when you lost your virtue in a drunken state? And wish you could live that night over. Happens all the time. Especially females. They cannot handle alcohol like a man can. And so two of the boys, Shem and Japheth, got themselves cloth or something, and they walked in backwards in the tent, and they covered their father's nakedness up. But the other one didn't, did he? He saw his father's nakedness, and a curse was put on him and his descendants, not on him, but his descendants, Canaan. And guess who the descendants of Canaan were? They had names. They built cities after those names. Let me give you some of their names. Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboah. They became perverts because of a curse brought on a family by the exposure of nakedness in that home. Sounds like serious business here. Male, female. Now let me go quickly here. Verse 8, the nakedness of thy father's wife, female, shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. It belongs to him. The nakedness of thy sister, female, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, female, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, female, or of thy daughter's daughter, female, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, female, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, female. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, female. She is thy father's near kinswoman, female. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, female. For she is thy mother's near kinswoman, female. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. That's what that means. Female. She is thine aunt. Female. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. Female. She is thy son's wife. Female. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. Female. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Pretty general there, isn't it? It was pretty specific up to that point. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter, female, female, to uncover her nakedness. For they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife or sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness, female, beside the other in her lifetime. It is wickedness, verse 17. Now it starts out with a male. Don't uncover your father's nakedness. And then what does the righteousness of the law teach us from that point on? That there is specifically, something God is concerned about. And that is what? The exposure of female nakedness. Now, I'm not going to get specific because I know we got kids in the room here and something. But brethren, there's a difference between men and women, and there's a difference between the way men think and women think. You ladies may never understand that as long as you live, but you better obey by the Holy Spirit the Word of God and live up to the righteousness of the law. Female, 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 female. Don't uncover the nakedness of a female. I submit to you, we live in a day and age where most men wear more clothes and cover their bodies more than women do. Who do you think's behind that? Go to Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20. And notice verse 17. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be excommunicated, cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. Wow! Is that holy or what? A lot of people used to criticize Dr. Jack Hiles when he was alive. A lot of people hated him. A lot of people loved him. As for me, he helped me profoundly understand depths of the Christian life I'd never known before. Nobody who knew him that I know of did not or could not admit that whether you liked him or not, he had the power of God in his life. And I heard him make this statement once. He said, "In my house, my children have never seen my bare feet." He said, "I never walked out of my bedroom but that I was fully clothed, including my socks." I wonder if that may be one reason why he had the power of God in his life. Such holiness. Such holiness. I think we need to start living at a higher standard. Now why? Go back to Leviticus 18. Now I'm getting near the end here, so please stick with me, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. Why does God hate nakedness so much? Why does he say in Leviticus 18:17, after all these specific examples, I think just so you don't miss, I think he's saying just keep your clothes on. I think he's just giving example after example after example after example where he can finally just say, just keep your clothes on. Men and women, keep your clothes on. Keep your clothes on at home. Now, why is that? Because right after he explains all those things about nakedness in verses 6 through 19, then I want you to notice the deviance in society that comes up in verse 20. Through 23. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch. That means to burn your children as human sacrifices. We live in a country that has absolutely no regard or respect for babies and for the unborn. Verse 20 is talking about adultery. Verse 21 is talking about putting little children to death. Verse 22, homosexuality. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Bestiality. Verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Notice the deviance that is produced by nakedness. The Lord says if your country becomes naked, these deviant behaviors are going to follow shortly thereafter. You think that's happened in our country? Folks, our country wasn't always like this. And then he goes on and he says, because God's judgment comes, defile not yourselves, verse 24, in any of these things. For if these nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and if the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. It talks about judgment. So it talks about nakedness leads to deviant behavior, leads to God's judgment. And what was the judgment in Judah's day when Ahaz made Judah low by making that country naked? God stirred up the Assyrians and brought the Assyrians on that country to chastise Judah for being a naked country. Are we seeing a pattern repeat itself today? Is this maybe what Islam's all about? Is it maybe God saying, I am sick of this since the 50s and 60s and 70s? I'm sick of this. I'm tired of the nakedness. One day, Peter, some say he was backslidden. It appears like he was. He went back to fishing when God had commissioned him to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. He went back to fishing with a bunch of his disciples, about six of them. There were seven of them. I don't know if they were all in the boat. But they were out fishing one day, probably on the Sea of Tiberias, and they heard a voice from the shore saying, children, have you any meat? And Peter looked, and he said to the other guys, it is the Lord. And in John 21 and verse 7, the Bible says this, when he saw that it was the Lord, he girt upon himself his fisher's coat, for he was naked, cast himself in the sea, swam to Jesus. Usually you take your clothes off when you jump in the water, but something affected Peter. To change his behavior completely the opposite of what the world would do. Put his clothes on. Why? Because he was naked. He said, I cannot go in the Lord's presence this way. Effective. In closing, men, keep your clothes on. Ladies, keep your clothes on. Raise your standards. Remember that nakedness is defined as exposing parts or shapes of the body that should not be exposed. It's time we get rid of the tight-fitting clothes, ladies. You could be wearing a dress and a skirt on, but it's exposes your nakedness, the form of the body. I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit tonight to help you with your wardrobe, to live respectfully, to live regally, to live royally, to dress like a king's daughter, like a prince or a princess for God. Ladies, your clothes is your protection. The RAND report here just came out 2 weeks ago. 750,000, I'm quoting, teen girls become pregnant each year in America. 750,000 every year. Right there. I'll leave it here for you to read. It came out August 7th. Today's what? September 3rd. That's a lot of girls getting pregnant. God doesn't want one of them to get pregnant. Next line. 4 million contract sexually transmitted diseases every year. A I try to be careful what I say here, but it takes a whole lot of stimulated boys for that to happen. And every one of those boys is guilty of sin before God. But I wonder about those girls. I wonder how many were dressed modestly. I wonder how many avoided dating, like the Bible says. I wonder how many stayed under the protection of their fathers. I wonder how many of those daughters gave their hearts to their fathers, like Malachi 4 and verse 6 says. I wonder how many of those boys gave their hearts to their fathers, like Malachi 4 and verse 6 says. I appreciate you young people that are pure tonight. Thank God for you. Appreciate you men and ladies that have shown good examples of what it means to hide your nakedness. I want to encourage the ladies of this church to get a little boldness and a little love in your heart to help the ladies, because I really don't think it's the business of us men to walk up to a lady and say, you know, that's not a very nice blouse. That's too low cut. That skirt's too high. I don't think it's our business, but I think some good, godly, humble ladies need to start talking to some ladies. Say, you know, we're here to help men, not hinder. We were made to help men be spiritual and have a good relationship, not be carnal and fallen. We need some men. Keep your shirt on when it's 90 degrees out. Keep your clothes on. I know you got to go out and work, wear old clothes and stuff like that. I know you come in Wednesday night, your old clothes. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. I'm just glad you come. But you might not think it's serious business tonight, but God does. Now, close with one story. The king of Moab, once named Balak, hired a prophet named Balaam to curse Israel. And he said, I'll give you money to curse Israel. I got to go against Israel. I need you to curse Israel. And Balaam went with him, and God tried to stop him. But Balaam says, love the reward of unrighteousness. He loved money. He went from spot to spot to spot, and instead of cursing Israel, he blessed them. And Balak, the king, started getting mad. He said, I'm hiring you not to curse them, but to bless them. And finally, Balaam admitted, he says, how can I curse what God has blessed? You can't curse Israel. But then Balaam finally said this, if you compare all the scriptures, although you can't curse them, you can corrupt them. Here's what you do. Get the women of Moab and bring them out in front of the men. And Balak said, thank you. He went to the women of Moab and said, I got a job for you. We can't curse Israel, God's for them, but we can corrupt God's men. I need you. I need you to come down here, and as it says in Revelation chapter 2, I need you to seduce them to commit fornication. And the next thing you know, the men of Israel lost the power of God, and they literally started marrying some of the women of Moab, having mixed marriages. God's judgment fell on that country. I said last week, ladies, don't be seductive. That is the wickedest thing a lady can do, is to be seductive. Take a look at your clothes. If they're too tight, get some new wardrobe. It's too low. Get it up. Button it up. Use the four-finger rule or whatever that thing is. My wife knows what it is. I don't. But. Sew the slits up. Wear the skirts long. So when you sit down, they don't come up half over your thighs. Get some modest dresses. Set an example at school. You know, that's another story, but another sermon, but a woman's clothes gives her protection, gives her, listen, respect, gives her rewards. show that to you from the Bible. Do you want respect, or do you want to just be an object of desire? Nakedness, the unclothed, what God has to say. I've tried to teach you line upon line tonight through the scriptures, what God thinks about it. God is not getting used to this, folks. And I am one who fears what I see coming on our country. And we got coming what we deserve if we don't repent. And if we don't set the example, who is? Let's bow our prayer, heads for prayer. We're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight. If you've been